Thank you for tuning in to Prevailing Word Broadcast. This message is presented by Reverend Ibu Hassan, the head pastor of Prevailing Word Chapel. Enjoy this insightful kingdom living message.
Matthew chapter 14, verse
28.
And we stand for the reading of the word of God, Matthew chapter 14. Verse 28 to 33. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.
Now Peter catcher and said, So
he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus.
Now catcher and said, Bra Petro, now Petro see now so Jesus.
But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me.
And
immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught
him.
God is going to immediately respond to your cry for salvation.
And
said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt?
And when they
got into the boat, the wind ceased.
Then
those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God.
May
the Lord add his blessing to the teaching and preaching of his word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on developing strong faith. Our faith must be strong for us to get everything that the scriptures have said about us. We read the story of how Peter got to walk on water. In the Old Testament, we saw cases where waters were parted and people walked on dry land. At least not less than three occasions. But Christ was found of doing things that the ordinary human being could not do. Christ could walk on water because he created the waters. So when Jesus was found walking on the waters and Peter was told it is Christ, he said, if it is you, then ask me to come.
Petro who said yes honor to opposite work I said so we are Christ only dear and a catcher me say
this is very important because as much as possible we have to walk in common sense.
Now where you are dear yes and say nanti I was saying they are doing nanti.
So Peter knew that no man could walk on water but Christ.
Now Petro they know himself only baby and to me nanti were opposite say Christo.
And in a way, he knew that if Christ said, walk on the water, he could then walk on the
water.
Anything that God tells you to do, you can act on it. But if he has not told you, you walk in common sense. There were other people in the boat and noticed that they didn't follow Peter walking on the water. Because it was unto Peter that the command was given. And this is essential for our faith life. But as Peter began to walk on the water, the Bible says he got to a stage where the wind became boisterous. The wind became stronger and he felt it against his body. So Peter's faith shifted. And he became afraid. And let us know that Peter was a fisherman who was used to the water.
na ne ewo mne se petro obi a no ye kufunia no ni mepo ene emu nsem.
But there is a stage where the human ability will limit you and can get your life destroyed. So as Peter was walking on the water and he felt the boisterous winds, the Bible says that he became afraid, and the moment fear took over, faith left.
And
the moment his faith left him, he cried out for God's help.
There's
no need to walk in fake faith. If it's not there, it's not there. And if it's not there, you do something else to survive. Many of the things in the Bible, they don't work exclusive of each other. In other words, if you take peace, for example, you will notice that peace is related to the other virtues that the Bible talks about in Galatians
5:22.
So sometimes it is faith to walk in wisdom. Because actually faith is acting on the word of God. So when God tells you something to do, it is the wisdom of God. When you walk in wisdom, as Peter did, crying to the Lord for help because his faith was failing, that's how come he was able to survive. So Jesus immediately stretched out his hands towards him and he said, "Why did you doubt?" And he told him, "Your faith is little." He said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" This morning, I want to talk to you on the subject, developing strong faith. Developing strong faith. The first thing that will help you to develop strong faith is acting on the spoken word. Peter's faith was strong because Jesus had told him, "Come on the waters." Whatever God has told you about, believe God for it and act accordingly. Let's look at a related story in Luke chapter 7 verse 6 downwards. Then Jesus went with them. He's talking about the centurion man. Luke 7 verse 6 downwards. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof." Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, amen, and my servant will be healed. This centurion believed in the spoken word. So he told Jesus, "Please don't come under the roof because I have a certain kind of faith." And you see, I want to relate his faith to his humility here, and I'll comment on it a bit later before we close. The man said he was not worthy for Christ to come that close to him. But he was a man of faith. So faith does not give us the opportunity to become arrogant. Are you following what I'm trying to share with us? It's a very thoughtful thing you must think about and allow it to dawn on you. Because you can become arrogant and allow your faith to destroy your relationship with people and with God.
So
the man, let us continue. He said, "For I am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under
me.
And I say to one, go, and he goes." He was explaining to Jesus why he should just speak, it will be okay for him. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So this is the kind of faith the man had. What kind of faith do you have? You must be able to say to the things you need, come, and they should come. You must be able to say to the things you don't want, go, and they should go. And all the things that God has placed under your care to serve you like ministering angels, you must be able to send them to go and expect them to do exactly what the word of God they should
do.
When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. He marveled at him. Do you expect God to marvel? Do you expect Jesus to marvel? When Jesus heard this man's faith, the Bible says he marveled at him. And turned around and said to the crowds that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith. No, not even in Israel. Sometimes unbelievers have more faith in the spoken word than the Christians. I mean, the people of faith, Jesus said, I have not found such faith among the people of faith. So when the man said what he said, and by the way, a centurion is more like a Roman soldier in charge of a number of people, and Jesus marveled at his faith. And this is also the reason why when people don't belong to your fold, like your church, don't take them for granted and think your church and your people are the best. You may be making, most likely, a very serious mistake.
Now, yesu akan, isan se, sa en samono, e jini fwa ne di ne tino kan ye, ane tiye bi waha, e jini fwa bi waha, wamo nyiwe nyamiya samna waka nini, an yen di fwa e jini, itiye bi waha numa, me nyawa jen se, wo anyone sorry man kwana munim asem no man sure bi o want man to me want an entire esan se wonnim ne onyame betumi anam na asem so aye won abrabo.
Jesus marveled at him.
Na na yesu no ho abu no.
And I pray that God will marvel at your faith.
Amen. Na mi jidi se wo jidi a wo no so onyankopo e be enu hu.
So long story short, the daughter became healed.
Because
that is what the man was believing God for. So to build strong faith, believe in the spoken word. Sometimes when the word of God is being preached, there is a portion that God will package specially and say, now this one is for you. You must be able to receive it and act on it accordingly. The second way to build strong faith is to accept that every contrary situation is only temporary. As a person of faith, you always have to fight. In fact, when you begin to walk in faith, you will fight all the time. So the walk of faith is called the fight of faith, but it's a good fight. The reason it's a fight is because you will have contrary situations that are coming against the kind of faith that you have.
Now, Judea, no man knew your question. Say, and no man do mercy work well. Any who Judea who want to be diaku.
But the truth is that everything contrary to what you are believing God for is temporary.
Hallelujah. No cry, woman. Say, Adiabiara, and then you would Judea no ever brand, and now they are better than what.
In other words, it does not. It is not meant to stay. It is trying to challenge you and defy the word of God. So
yes,
when you believe in God for something,
so
and you see the contrary situation around, don't start believing the contrary situation. Continue to believe God. Because every contrary situation will change and give in to the word of God. This is how you build strong faith. So when you find sickness in your body, pain in your body, and you go to the hospital, and the doctor gives you medication, and you pray about it, and you claim it, you claim your healing. You may be doing all these things and the situation may still be contrary. But understand that to build strong faith, you have to accept that the word of God is true and every contrary situation is false, is temporal, it will give in.
Yes. Adia wasa wujidini se. Tibia na wu womana won penu.
Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17. So people of faith can easily be laughed at. Because you are saying something and then what we see practically in your life is to the contrary. Accept that everything will pass away, but the word of God will not pass away. The wind that came against Peter gave in again.
Yes.
When Peter began to walk in faith.
Yes.
Again. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 17. It said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Every affliction you are going through is meant to be but for a moment. It's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we do not look at the things which are seen. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So when God speaks to you, take the word of God. To build strong faith, when an affliction comes contrary to the word of God for your life, accept that it is bad for a moment. And keep on believing God for the fulfillment of your faith. So on the basis of the scripture, I can predict that what you are believing God for will come true in your life. That opposition will give in to the word of God. Receive this prophecy based on the scripture. Your situation is changing.
Now,
so this is the second step in building strong faith. You are not moved by what you see. You are not moved by what you hear. What moves you is the word of God. Number three. In everything, give thanks. If you want to build strong faith, give thanks to God in everything. Because most of the times, again, I want to emphasize that point, because most of the time, the things you are believing God for may be different from what you are experiencing. At least in the beginning. For example, I have seen something about this church. And I have no doubt that it is the word of God. It's a good thing I've seen. It's a great thing I've seen. But when I look at the church now, it's not equal to what I've seen. So I have two options. I can look at what I see and become discouraged. But I can look at what I saw concerning the church and look at what I'm seeing physically and begin to thank God in everything. I can thank God in everything because what I'm seeing, I've seen the future. I've seen the future of this church. To a certain degree, I've seen it. But that is not what I'm experiencing now. So I'm not going to allow my faith to become little and doubt God because it's different from what God has shown me. My faith is built on that thing. So I can thank God in everything. Because I know what is coming. I said because I know what is coming. And I know that everything I see now will just give in. Notice what I didn't say. Or better so, notice what the Bible does not say. The Bible does not say for everything give thanks. It will be difficult in the vernacular, but in English it's quite clear. The Bible says in everything. Not for everything. Because there are things that may happen that are not of God. But the reason you can thank God in that situation is simply this. It's because God can turn everything around. That's the reason. That is the reason. So you can't thank God when something terrible happened contrary to scripture. Because not only will can Jesus defeat him, now you can defeat him, I can defeat him, she can defeat him, can defeat him, she can defeat him. We have become too many for him to handle. In everything give thanks. This is what Abraham did. He was believing God for a son or a child. 25 years had come and gone. He started doubting. He didn't believe God. But his faith began to grow over time. And his faith became stronger. And Romans chapter 4 verse 20 tells us that the promise that God gave Abraham, he did not stagger at the promise of God. He didn't stagger at it. He didn't stumble around the promises. If this was the promise, he walked straight on the promise. He didn't stagger moving out of the promise. He walked straight on the promise. He kept saying to himself, I am a father of many nations. That means I have many children under me. My children are like the stars. I cannot count them. My children are like the sand. I cannot count them. That was Sarah's confession towards Abraham. As Sarah called him the father of many nations. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? I'm saying that you can thank God in everything. This is how Abraham's faith became strong. By beginning to thank God in the situation of barrenness. Look at Romans 4:20. He said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I want to read you from another version of the Bible. He said he was strong in faith as he gave God the glory. That's the English Standard Version of the Bible. So to build strong faith, thank God in every circumstance. You will not feel like thanking God. It's not by feeling, it's by faith. So what do you need from God? What have you prayed about? As I'm preaching right now, I want to give you some time to begin to thank God for that thing. Begin to thank the Lord. I said begin to thank the Lord because it has been fulfilled in your life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Father. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We honor you, Lord. We celebrate you. Oh, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. When we began to pray, I saw a very dry ground. And I saw a flower come out of that dry ground. Something fruitful is coming out of that dry situation.
Hallelujah. I receive it.
So you see that your faith shifts into a different level altogether. Be seated. Be seated. That's how Abraham developed strong faith. Sometimes things happen to people and we don't know how they got to become what they became. But in this verse, we are being taught how Abraham's faith became strong. He thanked God in everything. The fourth way to build strong faith is to speak and act in line with your faith. Speak and act in line with your faith. Yes. You know, one day, a man of God was in dire strait financially. He needed a lot of money. His children were not properly clothed. His son was sleeping in the kitchen because he couldn't afford good accommodation. He said he didn't even have a stick horse to ride. You know, when I went to nursery school, there was a horse. It was made up of wood. You sit on it and you ride it. That's like a stick horse or a wooden horse. It doesn't take you anywhere. It just rocks you. He said he even didn't have a stationary horse to ride. Not, don't talk about car. He didn't have it. He kept praying for money, and money was not coming. He said one day the Lord said to him, you don't qualify to get money. Because you are using Isaiah 1:19 or Isaiah 1:11, one of them. He said, if you are willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. He said, you're obedient, but you are not willing. Why obedient? But he was not willing. There are two kinds of Christians. Christians who are very obedient to the things of God. And they believe in sacrificing and dying for the cause of Christ. To the point that even if their needs are not met, they don't bother that much. They are obedient, but they are not willing for prosperity. Then there's a second group of Christians who are not particularly obedient, but they are willing to enjoy the blessings of God. Sometimes they get the prosperity and the obedient ones do not have it. Because they are walking by grace. Based on what God has obtained for us through Christ. So the Lord said to his servants, he said, don't pray for money the way you have been praying for money. It has not been working. You have to change it. He said, if you want money, know that I want you to have the money too. And that if the money is not coming, it is not with me. It's with the enemy. So command the devil to take his hands off your money. And send the angels to go and influence circumstances for your money to come. Listen to the instruction he gave to his servant. He said, and when you do that, he said, do it once. Don't do it over and over and over again. But continue to thank me that the thing has come. He said, that changed the course of his life. At the end of his life, he had a lot of millions in his life. He could buy houses for his grandchildren. A man who could not afford a stick horse today, you know, yesterday, could now afford to buy. As for his children, they were covered. He was buying houses for his grandchildren. So he began to speak in a certain way. Faith speaks and faith acts in a certain way. You may be believing God, but you can act in a way that destroys your own faith. You may be believing God, and you can speak in a way that destroys your own faith. Let me pause and say this to you. You may not understand everything about faith, but I'm prophesying over your life that your faith is going to grow onto a point where you are so strong and you have results for the things you are believing God for. You are growing in faith. I say you are growing in faith. You are growing in faith. And as you grow in faith, you will come to a stage where you will not even command. You will wish, and then it will happen.
I receive it.
The desire of the righteous shall be granted him, the Bible says. And the righteous walk by faith and not by sight. So when you want to build a strong faith, speak in line with your faith and act in line with your faith.
agyidie a wọwọ no so.
Are you following?
Yes.
I remember many years ago when I heard the faith message.
Na wọ sọ ka mme bebe a wọ ti agyidie asem no.
I was troubled.
Na ha mme.
Because there were things I spoke and they didn't come to pass. There were things I believed but they didn't come to pass. And one day I wrote a letter to Kenneth Hagin. I was asking him about questions because I had believed God for things and I had not seen it. Then after a while in my Christian life, I realized that there are things that come to you as your faith grows. And that you may desire something right now today. You may ask God for them. You may even believe God for them. But you will not have them. Because you may think you have the faith for it, but in actual fact, you don't have the faith to handle it. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So when you have, want to build a strong faith, say what you believe. So you say to yourself, I believe I'm strong. I believe I'm blessed. I believe I'm prosperous. I believe I'm healthy. I believe it's well with me. I believe my children are okay. Because faith speaks. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. It's talking about people who have the same spirit of faith. When you have the spirit of faith, it shows in your words. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So when you believe, you must speak. That's how the spirit of faith operates. When you are thirsty, you don't eat bread. When you are thirsty, what do you do? Sarah, what do you do when you are thirsty? You drink water. Good. Why do you drink water? You drink water because you believe that when you drink the water, the thirst be quenched. So when you believe that you are blessed, it makes you act in a certain way. When you believe that you have children, you start choosing names. Males, female. If it's a female, this is the name. If it's a male, you begin to act as if you act in line with your faith. The reason I'm talking about faith to you this morning is because faith has brought results, and I know that faith will continue to bring results. We may not know how, and we may not know when, but we know that the faith will work. And this is how it works. You act your faith out. There was a man of God known for his faith. His name is Smith Wigglesworth, an Englishman. And he taught faith way before Papa Hagin began to teach about faith. He was so accepted But the secular people, even the Queen of England, will invite him to organize a church for the Anglican Orthodox Church. He was a charismatic person. He would just wear robes and go and preach in the Anglican church because he was a man of result. And he was so wonderfully blessed, not just with an ordinary gift of faith, but he, in his case, had, in addition, what is called the special gift of faith. He raised a lot of people from the dead. So many. He raised them from the dead. And one day, he was talking to this prominent British man who was very rich. And this man of God needed money. But he said that he had prayed to God for money and he wasn't going to tell the man, can you spare some pounds? He said he has spoken to God. And if God has heard it, he doesn't need to ask for the man to give him. God can talk to him and God can. So he was in dire straits financially, but he refused to tell the man, can you give me some money? I don't have money. Because he said he had prayed to God and he believed he had received. So the man was playing golf with him, but he never asked for money from him because his faith was in God. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So there comes a stage in your life where your faith has to operate that way.
Owo Gideon ma Queen Elizabeth Efreno e ma be shake sock e preach and our Kenya mi asem wo Anglican wo Queen Elizabeth area ho na wo se papa wo Gideon ma bi bi no ye sika and wo ye so ko gbogbo Chaskelia na ye friend golf and wo ni papa wo Chaskelia na so wa catch wo nyame se wo hia pounds and ye see this oh hia pounds e fi sap o e fi nyame ho.
That's how to build strong faith. Look at James chapter 2 verse 14. We are closing very soon. Building strong faith. It comes by believing and acting. The people who walked with Jesus, they learned his kind of faith. And James is teaching us something about faith here. James said, what does it profit my brothers and sisters if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him? When you believe, it must lead you to act in a certain way. And I'm sharing about faith because I believe that faith will bless your life. It will take you away from a place of being disadvantaged to a place coming out of the pit, coming out of a hard ground, and becoming blessed and increased. The things you are believing God for, it will surprise you when they will happen.
Yes, I receive.
Believe God and keep believing Him. The faith that saves is the faith that has God works. When you believe God for money, sometimes it must lead you to begin to work. You are doing that work because you believe that it's going to prosper you. And the Bible says the faith that has no works is a dead faith. Faith without works is dead. So when God blesses you with a plot of land, for example, you should be able to walk on that land and see a house on it. And see a house on it. and see a lawn on it, and see plant. I mean, whatever you desire, you must picture it, see it, see it in your faith's eye. Sometimes I stand here, I stand here, and I begin to see, I begin to envision, I begin to envision.
Okay.
Are you feeling what I'm trying to say? I like going to sites, even when there is nothing there, and then I begin to envision, I begin to see things. And do you know what I'm seeing right now as I'm talking to you? Oh, you let take it easy.
What about me?
Speech.
Well, see, I don't know who knows so. Now that funny say when I say who could not swap. For would you do any one who ever brought sign? I want a green grass. Now cast better a good name. Now call on the pen for dear grow. Now why you shall be a train and suck us a selfie when snow. Now come away and shut up. Catawanina for would you do any one who are your she in your assassin, so I saw a dinner hair of Catalan. And you know, a
number five, how to build strong faith. Number five, be practical.
Yeah, practical.
I'm developing that from number four. Number five, practical. When you have to use common sense, use common sense. When you have to use wisdom, use wisdom. When you have to use your hands, use your hands. And by all means, you get to a point where you will have to use faith. Then you use faith. Don't use faith as an instrument for all issues. See, many years ago, I think I was in the Scripture Union in the 80s. I heard a story of some missionaries who died in a water body. Later, I heard Young Cho talk about the same story. These were missionaries. And they came to a certain point in their walk with God. They were not practical. They said if Peter walked on water, they could also walk on water. It was a big thing in
Korea.
They said they were believing God. The unbelievers knew that these are faith people. They sought to walk on water and all of them died. All of them died because they were not well informed. Are you following? How many times did Peter walk on water? I think probably just that time. The other times he had to use his canoe or ship. Still underwater, but not under his direct foot. So don't read things in the Bible and say that if Peter walked on the water, I can also walk on the water. The question I want to ask is, why do you want to walk on the water? When you can use a boat, when you can use a ship. I'm simply saying, be practical. Are you following?
Yes.
Because sometimes if you are not practical, your life can even be cut short. Have you seen people of faith wearing glasses before? They are preaching faith, but they are wearing glasses. They are preaching faith, but they are taking medicine. Because they are practical. Somebody says, if you have faith in God, remove your glasses and believe God to correct your eyes. This is my response to it. If I was in a village where there was no eye specialist, in the Stone Age, there was no way I could get this thing to wear. and I had no option. Of course, I believe God to heal my eyes. But if I've got money and there is a doctor somewhere and can give me contact eye, contact lens or spectacles, I must be practical. I must be practical. Because I may be believing God and God may ignore me. And you're saying, use common sense. Use your brains. So there are people, they don't give their children medicine. And you see, what I'm talking about is something I've come close to people who are like that. But some of you will not understand it because that was the time people were believing God in a very serious way. Wrongly too. And there were churches like that. They call them
no name.
Do you know douche? The instrument for douching children. Okay, it's okay. He who has an ear, let him hear. So be practical. Number six. Be humble and forgiving. If you want to build strong faith, you must be humble. And you must be forgiving. Classic story, Matthew chapter 15. Verse 25. Then this Syrophoenician woman came and worshipped Jesus, saying, Lord, help me. But Jesus answered and said, listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to little dogs. He called the woman a little dog. He called the woman a little dog. You want healing for your daughter? Jesus said it is for a certain group of people. And it is not good to take what belongs to the children and give to little dogs. It was enough for the woman's pride to shoot up. What do you mean by little dogs? What do you mean by that statement? And begin to face Jesus full blast. She could have been offended. You call me a little dog? What else am I? I will show you what little dogs can do. And then she could pounce on Jesus. But when this woman heard these words from Jesus, listen to her reaction. She said, Master, even the little dogs, they get bread pieces from the table. Again, Jesus was moved. He said, Oh woman, great is your faith. He said, great is your faith. If you want to build great faith, you must not easily be offended. And you must not be proud. Because pride will not make you receive by faith. That's how to build strong faith. Be humble. Be forgiving. The final point. Be loving. You won't walk by faith. You must be loving. Galatians 5:6.
Wow.
It said, for in Christ Jesus, circumcision or no circumcision does not matter. But what avails much is faith that is working by love. So you may talk about faith, but faith cannot work on its own. We have mentioned humility. We have even indirectly mentioned wisdom, be practical. And now we are talking about love. The Bible says faith works by love. In Christ Jesus. Whether you are circumcised or not circumcised doesn't avail much. Circumcision avails much in our physical life, fighting against infection, because they can easily be trapped there. But in Christ, what avails much, what brings great results, is faith that's working by love. So if I must conclude, I want to encourage you to walk in love so that your faith will work. Always forgive. When they call you little dog, forgive.
So be frau.
As for big dog, they have got honor. I saw Mr. Buaka with his big dog. I had to have honor for that dog. Because the size of the neck of that dog, if it pounces on you, it can hurt you seriously. Big dogs are honored, but little dogs, you know sometimes you go to a house and some tiny dog, you know that this dog, I can boot you, you shut up right now.
Hey, little dog, keep quiet with your leg.
But when it is a big dog and it barks, you back off. God has made you not a little dog, but a big dog in Christ Jesus. Begin to bark in faith. And when you bark in faith, the devil will back off your life. And you begin to gain the territory that God has designed for you. The Lord bless and keep you, smile upon you, be gracious unto you, help you to build strong faith. Because with faith, it is possible to please God. And with faith, all things are possible. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Now, the purpose of preaching the word of God is to get people encouraged, to offer hope to people, and to comfort them in their time of need. But ultimately, the reason why we preach on air is to get you born again. And so if you want to receive Christ Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, this is a prayer you can pray. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this time. I believe I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and come and stay in my heart. Write my name in the book of life and give me the grace to live for you. Thank you, Father, for hearing me in Jesus' name. Friend, if you pray that prayer, I believe that God has come into your life. Join a Bible-based prayer and church that teaches the word of God and continue, and your life will never be the same.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Okay, I want to introduce to you a book entitled Counseling with Skill. Counseling with Skill. Now, counseling is a very important part of life. So important that those who receive counsel tend to do better than those who don't. Sometimes you have a person with a troubling circumstance going through a lot of hardships. But if this person should receive good counsel, he's likely to do better than the person who has all the opportunities and all the advantages but has no counselor or counseling in his life. Now, if this is how important counseling is, then I believe that those who are called to counsel, like parents, like fathers, like superiors, managers, bosses, senior brothers, and almost every one of us, if this is how counseling is that important, then all of us must learn to do it with skill. This is why I wrote this book. So in this book, you will learn what it means to be a good counselor, how to develop your skills as a counselor. When it comes to counseling, what style do you use in counseling? The environment for changing counseling. We also look at preemptive counseling. Counseling people so that they don't need counseling. That's interesting. Then we look at what to focus on when you are counseling. We talk about practical Christian counseling, the counselor, counseling and challenges. And finally, we end by talking about growing your counseling ministry. I believe that this mini book is going to be very helpful to pastors and all those who have people under them. So you get a copy.
For copies of these and other messages or books, please call 0244-228-331 or 0249-454-976 or visit the church premises on Dempetede Road, 3 minutes drive from St. Peter's School, West Anaji. God richly bless you.